In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the greatest of the feasts of our Blessed Lady because it is her victory over Satan and sin. The founding or the equipping of a great army is not its greatest hour, nor is even its battle, but rather its greatest hour is its victory. And Our Lady's victory over Satan and sin is commemorated and signified by her assumption into heaven, just as any victorious army will parade as a celebration of their victory, as an effect of their victory. So our Blessed Lady is brought into heaven by angels as a celebration of her great victory and as a sign of her great victory. Our Lady's struggle in this life was the same as our Lord's struggle. She did not have to struggle against sin and temptation owing to concupiscence and passion. Rather, she struggled against Satan and sin by cooperating intimately with our Lord's struggle, that is, by accepting the burden of the passion and death of her beloved Son. Our Blessed Lady was conceived immaculately and therefore did not have any reason to have any of the effects of original sin. In just like our Blessed Lord, he had no reason to have any of the effects of original sin because he, being God, was completely without sin. But yet he consented to have certain effects in order to undergo his passion. And so he consented to have suffering. He consented to have death in order to undergo his passion. So our Blessed Lady had no reason for any of the effects of original sin, but by the providence of God was subject to suffering and was subject to death in order to be a cooperator, an intimate cooperator, in the redemption of the human race. Now, death is the one thing that Satan still holds over the human race. The original plan was that men would not die because they were founded in the state of sanctifying grace, and it is their bodies that demand death, but it is their souls that are immortal. And because God originally established that it would be the body that would follow the glorified and sanctified soul, so man was constituted in such a way that he would not die. But because man chose to find his own happiness by himself, by disobeying God, one of the punishments was that now the soul would follow the death of the body. That is, the body would be subject to suffering and corruption, and thus the soul would separate from the body. The soul, of course, remaining immortal in itself, but would separate from the body. And death was the worst sting of original sin, that we have to undergo corruption and death. That is the worst sting of original sin. It is the worst affliction that Satan has placed upon the human race. The other effects of original sin, which are ignorance and concupiscence, may be conquered by the spiritual life, by being faithful to our prayers, by obeying the commandments, by leading a good and holy life of prayer. prayer, we may overcome ignorance by faith and by supernatural wisdom. We may overcome concupiscence by virtue, but we cannot overcome suffering and death. That is still with us by the providence and wisdom of God. And so all things must undergo death and corruption. It is the will of God that the effects of the redemption not be applied to our bodies until the end of the world. That only our souls now benefit from the effects of the redemption. And so everything proceeds towards its death. Everything has the mark of death on it. And so death dominates our lives in this world. When you drive in a car someplace, you think about your beginning, you think about your journey, and you think about your end. And no matter what you do during that journey, if you should stop for gasoline, if you should stop and eat, there is an overriding presence in your mind of your destination. And so in this life, no matter what activity you should have, there is an overriding and abiding presence of the thought of death, of the thought of termination of what you will be and what you will do. And the just men, the good in this life, having that knowledge of their last end, having that constantly before them, prepare for a holy death. And so the great saints of the church are those who prepare in the best possible way for their deaths, for their judgments, for their eternities. The wicked, on the other hand, intensify their pleasures in view of their impending and inevitable death and condemnation to hell. For no matter how much they would like to be atheists, no matter how much they would like to say that they don't have the faith and they don't believe in heaven and hell, the human being cannot escape, even by the testimony of his reason, that God exists, and as God, he must be obeyed. And if he is obeyed and feared, that he will reward us. And if he is disobeyed and dishonored, that he will punish us. The human being cannot escape that reality because it is testimony even of reason. And so, the wicked are like those who drive in a car and who have certain knowledge that at some point before they arrive at their destination, they will have a horrible accident. They are certain of it. They are certain of their condemnation to hell. They are certain of their inevitable death. And so they spend as much of their time as they can in pleasure, in distraction, in stopping by the side of the road, in spending as much money as they can in order to avoid in their minds this overriding and abiding thought of having this terrible accident. But they know in the depths of their hearts that they are condemned to hell. But our Blessed Lady was exempt from these bonds of death. first of all because of her immaculate conception. She did not have the curse of death and corruption upon her. And like our Lord, her participation in suffering and death pertained to her only in view of her participation in the redemption. Our Lady participated in the redemption through her compassion. Our Lord accomplished the redemption by his passion. Our Lady intimately aided him in this by her compassion, that is, by her union with our Blessed Lord in his suffering and death, by her interior sorrow. And that is why Our Lady suffering, Our Lady in sorrow, is one of the great devotions of the Church, just as Our Lord in his passion is the great attention of the Church. Now, some say that Our Lady did not even die. Some theologians say that, because it was not necessary for her to die, since our Blessed Lord died the death of redemption. And if you notice in the literature concerning Our Lady's death, it always says the dormition of our Blessed Lady. The dormition, which means the sleeping of our Blessed Lady. And Pope Pius XII purposely did not define in 1950 the death of our Blessed Lady, but simply said when she came to the end of her earthly life, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. And so many theologians even speculate that she did not die, for there was no reason for her to die. She was exempt from the curse of death. But if she did die, we know that her body did not undergo corruption. She was the incorrupt one. Of all those who have died and remained incorrupt, she is the greatest of the incorrupt. This day of death will come for all of us, as will the day of resurrection from the dead. Today will be the day of death for many people. Today. In the whole world, this will be the day that has arrived. Just as Christmas Day arrives, or New Year's, or the 4th of July, it arrives because time goes on relentlessly, and every day arrives. So today will be the day of death for many people, and for many of them it will be unforeseen, sudden, shocking, in a moment. They will be caught in the midst of their pleasures, their delights, their sins, and death will come to them. They will be caught unrepentant. They will be caught without a priest. It will come. Today will be the day of death for many, many people. And our day will come. The sun will rise on our day. It will come. And the day likewise will come when we shall all rise again, body and soul, just like the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the wicked shall go into everlasting fire with hideous bodies that match the ugliness of their souls. But the just shall rise into heaven like our Blessed Lady with glorified bodies. Saint Paul said, "And we will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you be not sorrowful, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who have slept through Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you in the word of the Lord, that we who are alive who remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who have slept. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with commandment, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead that are in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet Christ, into the air, and so shall we be always with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.